This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Ed, how are you doing?
I'll be honest, I'm a little exhausted. This has been quite the week. And guess what? There's going to be drama even going into the weekend. So I think a lot to recap and to look forward to.
Where you are, there's still a few hours to go. Fortunately, I'm at the end almost of the working week. Let's start with earnings where you are. And I know that stocks have risen today. That partially due to Goldman Sachs capping a strong earnings season for big banks, while a surprise rise in retail sales raised optimism about economic recovery. And it wasn't quite the same picture earlier on in the week, was it?
Very much so. And I think for me, when you take a look at standout earnings results, Goldman Sachs, it looks like they're the king of Wall Street. They surpassed Morgan Stanley in equity trading revenue. That is a pretty big deal. But when you take a look at how the business has evolved there, trading business, 23% jump. Investment banking division had an 88% surge from last year. The overall revenue already surpassed last year's results. And I think you're seeing that, you know, Goldman Sachs is getting everything right. and they have a strong loan growth outlook for 2022. And you're seeing that a lot of people, they really are starting to anticipate that. Okay, you know, it used to be JP Morgan was, you know, the king, and now it looks like you're starting to see JP Morgan struggle on the loan growth outlook. They've also, you know, had a little bit of a difficulty with higher expenses next year, and they've been really struggling with their wage increases. While when you take a look at some of the other banks, they've really haven't really been, I think, that impacted to those themes. So I think right now you're seeing the banking outlook for the most part has been pretty optimistic. I think that, you know, you're probably going to have I think optimism that, you know, the consumer is still going to be very strong going into the holiday season, and I think that's why you're still seeing stock markets they're rising. This has been a very good start. You have a strong consumer that is looking to withstand the brewing inflationary pressures that's happening right now.
But don't you think that those earnings results are already a little bit out of date? Because the volatility that we've seen in recent weeks, the concerns, further concerns about inflation and the energy crisis that we've had, particularly here in the UK, but the rest of the world as well, haven't really been factored into those results yet.
Well, I think that you're still going to see trading volumes remain elevated. We've seen a pickup in trading volatility here. And while I think the focus, you know, going forward is going to be on loan growth, I think that is where you're going to see how the U.S. economy is going to benefit from this next round of infrastructure spending and new initiatives. I think a lot of people are not realizing that the push into renewables is going to see massive investment. This is really going to spur, I think, a lot of opportunities in the private sector. And there's, I think, a tremendous amount of reasons to be optimistic that there is still a large amount of support being put into the economy. A lot of the delays that we've seen from Washington, D.C. and getting things done will really just point to a stronger outlook for 2022. And I think you're still looking at financials that will ultimately benefit from a steepening of the yield curve. And right now you're seeing there's some concerns for stagflation, but I think those will probably go away once we continue to see a stronger economic outlook. And with that, you should see treasury yields on the longer end of the curve rise. And that's just good news for the banks.
I didn't expect to find you in such optimistic and positive mood today, Ed, so I'm encouraged by that.
Well, I think that, you know, there are brewing short-term risks. I think that you're seeing, though, that there's going to be, I think for the next, you know, couple quarters, just a primary focus on inflation. And I think that a lot of people got inflation wrong. I think I was probably in the transitory camp a lot longer than I would like to say I was, but you're going to start to see, I think, these supply chain issues ease in probably two quarters. But because the economy is still strong, still benefiting from the reopening, I think you're going to see strong consumer behavior heading into holiday season. And I think that will bridge the gap before we really start to see a return to normal for manufacturers. And there's probably going to be some pricing pressures that remain. But I think in the end, there is still optimism that you're going to see the chip shortage really alleviate in the middle of next year. And I think if you're seeing the U.S. economy grow at 4%, or even if it gets cut to 3.5%, that's still well above, you know, the 2%, you know, average we saw during, you know, the longest expansion in U.S. economic history. So I think there's strong reasons to be optimistic for equities, and I think that you're still seeing there is pent up demand. The labor market recovery is not happening as fast as the Fed would like, but I think it is still happening. There's still over 10 million jobs available. There's still a lot of Americans that are now in a better position to return to the workforce because of vaccines, because of a successful reopening of schools. So I think you're probably gonna see, you know, labor market hiring continue to improve going into next year. And I think it's gonna be a bumpy ride because of the risks. I think, but you know, a lot of these risks, it seems that there are limited fears that it will be sustained, with the exception of the energy crisis. That's one of the big wild cards out there.
Okay, you talk about the energy crisis, and today we've seen UK natural gas go down quite substantially, 5%, but oil continues to rise.
Yes, and I think, you know, Europeans' gas problem is, you know, looking like, well, maybe things aren't as bad because Russia has now said that they're going to provide some added volumes here and helping ease that burden for Europe. But I think right now you're going to see that, you know, the supply crunch this winter is going to be what everyone is focused on. And Russia knows that they want to get Nord Stream 2 completely wrapped up, and they know that Europe is extremely vulnerable right now. So I think you're going to see this is going to play into their hands. And right now there is some concern that, you know, we could have a colder winter. La Nina in the U.S. has been, you know, heavily talked about, and you're looking at a colder, wetter winter, and there is that fear that continued pressure on the energy grid is likely to remain. So I think you're dealing with a commodity cycle here that it's just continuing to support higher prices. I think that you're probably going to see that there's been a reduction in output for aluminum, for steel, for zinc, and a lot of that is because these energy costs are already too high. So you're going to see that's going to keep those commodities going higher. Crude prices are going to likely remain elevated because OPEC Plus is not blinking. They're not bending the knee. They're going to stay with their gradual output increase. They're fearful if they ramp up output, and then if you know, energy demand normalizes a little bit quicker, you're going to see oil prices fall a lot harder. So they rather just tolerate elevated prices and added revenues in the short term. And I think that you're going to see that the energy market mistimed the transition into renewables, and you're going to see that dirty energy is going to probably stick around a lot longer than what many people are anticipating. And right now, we're still seeing you know, a very severe oil market deficit that likely could widen, and you know, prices are likely to react heavily to I think the weather outlook over these next few months, and right now traders they're bracing for possibly $90 oil, $100 oil has been constantly thrown out, and I think you should not be surprised if you start to see just the inflationary story, see traders just hop on this commodity cycle right now and even send these prices higher.
Let's talk about Bitcoin and, well, Bitcoin ETFs are almost with us.
It has been almost a decade in the making. I think 2013 was when the famous Winklevoss twins tried to get their ETF pushed through. But no, I think there is so much excitement brewing. Last night, the SEC even sent out a tweet that everyone was just buzzing over, and I think the SEC is now in a position where they know that two ETFs have based their contracts under mutual fund rules, which is what SEC Gensler has been saying he wants to see, and I think that now you're going to probably see that. The SEC, the tweet last night was that they were warning people that before investing in a fund that holds Bitcoin futures contracts, you need to be careful of the risks involved. The SEC is poised to potentially announce on Monday that the ProShares ETF is going to get the approval. And why this is important is because the whole cryptoverse is waiting for, the next wave of Bitcoin supporters to come into the place, and ETFs provide an avenue for many on Wall Street that they will feel more comfortable than trading the futures or actually going on to one of those crypto exchanges. So this is a big story. There's several ETFs that are being contemplated by the SEC. I think only ProShares and Invesco are the ones that are most likely to get approved, and there's a handful of others that will, I think, will have their decisions delayed. But if you have four approvals next week, then you're probably talking a move breaking above the record high of 64,869. So I think you're seeing a lot of traders. They're excited about this. Some are also nervous that you could see a massive wave of profit taking, kind of a buy the rumor, sell the news type reaction. So there's going to be enhanced volatility over these next several days. And I think though overall though for the space, this is great news that you're going to have another vehicle to trade Bitcoin, and this could really open the door for many new investors. So quite the buzz, and I think that in the end, this is long-term positive, and I think that you're going to be hearing a lot more people talk about possibly $100,000 Bitcoin if you have a couple successful ETFs launched next week.
Wow, $100,000. Amazing. Okay, Ed, before we let you go, let's have a look ahead to the next 7 days or so. And what are the highlights that we should look out for?
I think next week is. There's a few things you have to look out for, but for me, what I'll be fixated on is going to be earnings week, because we had the banks. Next week, though, we'll hear from some key tech companies, an Intel Netflix report. We'll hear from the airlines, United and Southwest. Also, Honeywell, very one of my favorite earnings to cover, and also even like Chipotle. You're going to hear about more about food pricing pressures, and you're probably going to see in Procter and Gamble is the last one. So I think there's a big focus on inflation, and if the consensus is that these pricing pressures are going to really hurt the consumer next quarter, this quarter, that eventually will have to start to weigh on the outlook. So that will be one of the key focal points for me. I will say there is a few important rate decisions next week, there's tightening happening. The Fed is looking to possibly raise rates in September of next year, and the BOE is looking at December this year. Hungary, they're expected to continue raising rates. They have a potential hike on Tuesday. We also have the Turkish Central Bank, which, despite all the inflationary pressures, the president President Erdogan has been pressuring the central bank to cut rates, and it's kind of forget monetary policy and economics and traditional central bank behaviors. Erdogan wants rate cuts; he's going to get them. Otherwise, he'll make more replacements like he did last week. So I think you're going to see Turkey is going to cut rates again, and this is why we're seeing lira continuing to hit fresh record lows. A year ago, I was talking about the nine handle. It took a lot longer than I anticipated, but now, if this complete disregard of inflation happens, you can't be surprised if we start to make a move towards 9.5 and possibly 10. So that's Turkish Central Bank decisions on Thursday. Friday, you get the Russian Central Bank. They're expected to raise another raise, 25 basis points to 7%. So those are some of the key data points of rate decisions we have. The main event on economic data, however, will be China. Third quarter GDP is expected to soften, and we'll also have retail sales, which should improve slightly, and industrial production will edge lower as well. So quite a lot to stay on top of, and then also to, as we mentioned earlier, the Bitcoin ETF decision on Monday for ProShares Invesco's on Tuesday, and then we should hear from some other ones later that week.
Okay, very thorough review of the next week. Thank you very much, Ed, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Looking forward to it, and I hope you have a good one too.
This is the Oanda Podcast.